Concordia Publishing House's annual Fall Warehouse Sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. November 1st through the 4th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's Fall Warehouse Sale, cph.org, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's Fall Warehouse Sale, November 1st through the 4th.
We think of local schools, but our local schools really aren't that locally controlled anymore. They're more like outposts for a big national chain.
When scripture is dethroned, something else will always be enthroned in its place.
This doesn't make any sense to me because you've been saying that we take the Bible literally, but not on this topic. And it was at this point where the Baptist pastor just looked at me in his office and said, well, it would be silly to think it's his body and blood.
This incessant quibbling over doctrine is interfering with the unity of the church and with church fellowship. That's nonsense. We have no fellowship with God apart from the divine word which Jesus delivered to his apostles.
Lutherans at the Old Latin School in Lutherstadt Wittenberg love Issues Etc.
Well, in addition to being the day before All Saints Day, it is also All Hallows Eve, and shorten that down, you find a connection to what most people are thinking about today. They're thinking about the trick-or-treating, the bad weather. If you live in the Midwest, some towns are postponing their massive events that they hold for Halloween, parades, candy, and of course, children dressed up as, well, nowadays, they dress up as superheroes. They dress up as their favorite cartoon characters. They dress up as ghouls and witches and the undead. How did Halloween get to what it is today? And is it true, as we are often told, that it really has its origins in a pagan holiday that the church stole and turned into their All Hallows Eve or All Saints Day? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking about the true history of Halloween with Holly Shear. First, a little bit later, Tom Raby joins us. We're going to talk about the appeal of Lutheranism to evangelicals. He says often on their trip eastward toward Orthodoxy or toward Rome, they overlook Lutheranism. Terry Mattingly will join us after that, discussing media coverage of religious ties between Russia and Syria. Then in hour two of Issues Etc., it's Issues Etc. Reformation Week on this Reformation Day. Our series, Paths to Lutheranism, continue. We'll be talking about the path from Calvinism to Lutheranism with Dr. Nancy Almodovar, author of a new book, The Accidental Lutheran, The Journey from Heidelberg to Wittenberg. Joining us to talk about the true history of Halloween, Holly Shear. She's a regular guest, a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Christians Used to Do Halloween Better Than Pagans. Holly, welcome back.
Thanks for having me today, and happy Reformation Day.
You write, for too long, we've let the secular world redefine our traditions, rewrite history, and steal our holidays. What do you mean?
It's kind of the general trend with Reformation Day or All Hallows Eve and Halloween, and we see it with Christmas and Easter, where the secular world tells us that Christians came and they stole these holidays from paganism, that we're kind of these culture thieves, that we don't have any culture that's distinctly ours, so we came into other areas of the world and stripped away their traditions and made them our own.
What does the revisionist version of Halloween's history say about that holiday?
They like to claim that there was this Celtic holiday, Samhain, and it was this harvest festival type celebration of the dead, and they will claim that it predates Christianity. There's really no record of that at all. And that as Christianity spread up through Europe, that Christians, when they hit the Celtic area, in order to make Christianity tolerable for those people, took those traditions and kind of put our stamp on it so they would embrace Christianity. And we then kind of melded it into Halloween, All Hallows Eve, and then had this kind of dual celebration. And it's really not how it happened at all. We have much firmer records that Christians, really back through the centuries, have always had celebrations around martyrs, around the deaths of martyrs, reminding us that in the early church, it wasn't that big of a stretch that you could die for your faith. And remembering the deaths of the martyrs was something that Christians did to help strengthen their faith. We have records of that all the way back to, you know, the very first couple centuries of Christianity. And so it wasn't a Celtic thing at all.
From your perspective as a Christian mother, what is the current kind of popular celebration of Halloween really all about?
Current pop culture Halloween has become something very over the top. For little kids, it's about the costumes and the candy, right? It's about dressing up and hanging out with your friends and maybe going to a party, but going house to house in a costume and getting that big bag or bucket of candy. As you get older, it's about haunted houses. It's about the scary movies. It's about costumes that really terrify people. It's gone really, I think, even from when I was a child in the 90s, so far over the top from spooky to just gory and scary and really grotesque. And I think that's kind of sad because it makes it very inappropriate for smaller children, for people who are squeamish, for people who just don't really want to be subjected to that.
So give us a little more information on this Samhain. People looking for it, it's spelled like Samhain, but there's the Celts for you. What was its alleged connection to Halloween?
The connection is really confusing because until the early 20th century, there wasn't really any good documentation at all. This is really, you know, when paganism had this big resurgence, when people got really interested in the Druids, when Wiccans got big. They went back and they pulled any history they could, and written records are not great. And it looks like for them, it was really kind of the ending of the year. And they had a lunar calendar. They did not have a fixed calendar like we do now. So it was not a particular day of the year. It was not October 31st every year. Whereas for Christians, we have All Hallows Eve tied to All Saints Day all the way back to the 700s. There was a pope, his name was Pope Gregory, and he actually fixed that date back in kind of the 730s or so. But the Celtic records we have were really kind of reimagined in the 1950s, 1970s, somewhere in there. And a lot of it appears to be very creative. And it's interesting because when you try to read the history on it, Business Insider had an article this last week, and they claimed that it was actually Christians, particularly Catholics, that started, you know, taking over Halloween, and they pinned that on the Catholics in the 1900s. So they've kind of flip-flopped the dates of who claimed what when. And so they've taken a holiday that the only old records we have from Europe were that this was the end of their economic year. It was tied to the lunar calendar, so it just moved around based on the moon cycles. There was no firmer thing than maybe it had to do with the harvest, maybe it had to do with settling things out. Nothing really to do with trick-or-treating, nothing really to do with any of the traditions that we envision as Halloween.
As simply as you can put it, what is the real history of Halloween, its connection to the Christian celebration of what would eventually become known as All Saints Day in our parlance, and these remembrances of the dead that go back to Christianity's founding?
It's taking it back to first those deaths of martyrs and remembering that we are part of a really rich liturgical tradition, and we are part of a faith that goes all the way back. And we're part of that tradition of all of those people who believed exactly as we believe. And they were willing to keep that faith all the way to death. And that's something that we teach our children as well, right? and they remembered their individual death dates when there were only a couple of them. And as there became more and more, they kind of consolidated those dates into one particular celebration. And then as they did that, they kind of started bringing other traditions in and around that. Trick-or-treating, something we do now, kind of came in to medieval Europe by about the 1300s or so in Europe. And that was children going door to door, and they would sing a song for you, or they would pray for you. And in exchange, people would give them, you know, a treat. They would give them some food. They would give them some kind of really small token or goodie. Different traditions did do some praying for their loved ones who have gone before. And obviously in Lutheranism, we have a little bit different view on that. But there has always been this really firm tie between Halloween or All Hallows Eve and the day after being All Saints Day. That has always been this remembrance of people who have died and remembering why they died. They died because they were in the faith. They died because their faith was so important to them. And it's, you know, remembering for us that we have this exact same faith. And it has always been just that deeply, deeply Christian aspect of it's our faith that is most important to us, and it's our faith that's worth dying for.
What exactly are we preparing to celebrate as the church on All Saints Day?
We're preparing to celebrate all of those saints who went before us, and it's kind of not saints that we would think of necessarily particular saints, but all of those people who died in the faith. So your grandparents, your great-grandparents, but also the big saints of the church itself. And it's remembering that in heaven, we're going to see all of those people again.
What can Christians do? Your article is kind of a call to take it back. What can Christians do to take Halloween back from both the revisionists, the pagans, and just kind of the popularized silliness that is Halloween now?
I don't think we need to stop our kids from trick-or-treating. I think trick-or-treating is a long tradition that our church has always had. I think we can maybe dial back a little bit of the scary costumes. You know, if people are cringing when they look at you, maybe we should scale that back a little bit. But I think we need to remember that laughing at the devil, the victory over death has already been won in Christ. That's a really good tradition. But the next day, maybe we should come back to church. Maybe we should bring that part of it back into our lives. This wasn't meant to be a standalone thing where you go out, you trick-or-treat, you get candy, and that's the end of it. We go out, we trick-or-treat or whatever your family tradition is around this, but then go back to church. Remember all of those people in your lives who were in the faith and who died and that you will see again. Have church be such a central part of your family's life that you wouldn't dream of celebrating a holiday like this without being in church. I think we really need, as Christians, especially as our culture starts to shift on all of these things, to make sure that we are regularly in church and that we celebrate all of these holidays in church together as families.
So you're not talking about baptizing a pagan holiday, but recapturing a Christian holiday without telling the kids they can't have any candy when all their friends are out there getting it.
Absolutely. I think it should really be the best of both worlds. I think it's remembering that all of the fun parts of Halloween were really ours to begin with, and then remembering that church is a necessary component of this.
Holly Shear is a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming. She is author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Christians Used to Do Halloween Better Than Pagans. You'll find a link to it under the Talk on Demand archives at issuesetc.org. Thanks, Holly.
Thank you.
We'll be talking about the appeal of Lutheranism to evangelicals. Tom Robbie joins us. He's written a column for Real Clear Religion titled Swim the Mississippi, Why Conservative Lutheranism is the Faith Tradition Many Evangelicals Seek. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These listeners have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Reformation Club benefits include shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for confessional Lutheran churches. Learn more about joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club on the Support Donate page at IssuesETC.org and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses or call Lynn 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Are you on the road to paradise in the southern Puget Sound area of western Washington, but looking for a traditional liturgical Lutheran congregation in classical Lutheran elementary school? Parkland Lutheran Church and School in Tacoma, a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, is the place to find our Savior's rest on Sunday mornings and Monday evenings. Visit our website at parklandlutheran.org for service times and downloadable sermons. Preaching, teaching, and distributing Christ and Him crucified every week.